Beautiful people, and welcome to the Daughter Podcast, a place that is dedicated to the total wellness of the total woman. My name is Samantha Grimes, and I'm a certified life coach and Christian counselor and the CEO of Samantha Grimes Life Solutions, LLC, a wellness company that offers a wide variety of coaching and counseling services. If you are interested in one-on-one or group services, please head to our website at www.sgls.info. Once again, that's www.sgls.info. And we look forward to working with you. Now, I normally do this at the end, but I want to start actually with some of our housekeeping things. Some of our goodies. I want to just come out the gate and introduce those things to you, give you an opportunity to hear it in your ear or watch it with your eyes and get the information, write it down, and become a part of all the good things that we have going over here at SGLS. All right. So number one, do you love this podcast? If you don't, you will. I have faith. I believe that this will be one of your favorite podcasts, okay? If you have not had an opportunity to check out episode 1, episode 2, episode 3, and episode 4, please go ahead and do so. And then circle back to this because we want you to join our membership community. Yes. Listen, the Daughter Podcast has its own inner circle, its own membership community, its own place for mentorship, membership, development, identity development, daughter development, all of those good things. It is a community that is surrounded by the same mission that this podcast has. We want to dedicate it to the total wellness of the total woman. And in there, we'll have a live Q&As surrounding the podcast episodes, as well as we have a live Bible studies, live lessons, and group coaching. And it's just something that you want to become a part of. You know, it's the water, it's the sunlight and the attention that a plant needs to grow. And so if the Daughter Podcast has been blessing you, if this is something that you've been enjoying, then join our community of other like-minded sisters, right? The group is only $40 a month. You guys, that is not expensive. We spend more on money than that for our subscriptions. Okay. And so this is a perfect thing for you. So I want you to consider it. And if you want to become a part, which I believe you will, then head to our Instagram page at Samantha Grimes TV. And if you click the link tree, you're going to see in the options of the Daughter Membership Community. Click that link and you'll be sent to a beautiful landing page talking all about it. And there's a submit your email and click sign up and then scroll down and hit ready for purchase and you submit your first $40 for the month and you will get a welcome email within 24 to 48 hours telling you the exact details of how to become a part. I want you guys, number one, to join that. Number two, I am the author of 2 books. Bless the Lord. Anybody's ever written a book? Even if you're a writer, which I am, but even if you're a writer and you love to write and it's your thing and it's beautiful and it's cathartic for you and it's all of that, understand that it's still such a win to write and to finish a book, especially a book written by the Holy Spirit, to really be a part of a project like that being released in the earth. It is such an honor. You see the journey that a writer goes through. It's not just putting words on a page, but you are birthing a vision, a project, and a word, a truth in the earth. So it's powerful. And God has used me, so honored to release 2 books, birth 2 books in the earth. Y'all, it completely caught me off guard. I did not know that the Lord ready for me to write books. God does us like that, okay? He does us like that. Just when you think you have your plan in mind, here comes God with his. And his is always better and always more fruitful. But the first book is called Feel So Good to Be Loved, 21 Days of Discovering the Authentic Love of God. The amount of reviews and people who have come up to me and wrote me and sent pictures to me of just how much this book has blessed them has been innumerable. It has... One of these episodes, I'm going to tell you the story of how I even got to the point of writing this book, but we need to stay focused on topic, but it's an incredible book. It's literally written. It's a devotional, but it's written like a chapter. So every chapter is a day, kind of. And after each day, there are three questions that are really, really targeted and really, really meant to help you think. This is the thing. You may know that God loves you, but you may have no idea that God loves you. I'll say that again. You may know God loves you, but you may have no idea that God loves you. Not a clue. Not a clue at all. And you may have no idea how to really receive that and how to let that change your life. Sometimes we know truths, but we haven't let truths get to our heart and we haven't let them transform our life yet. And we don't even know how. This book is just the thing for you. The second book that I wrote is called Significant: Slaying the Demon of Low Self-Esteem and Stepping Back into Your Day One Significance. Women of God, there is no woman that has not had to face this mountain at some point in her life. And this book was really designed. Each chapter have targeted areas that help you have a new perspective, lead you to Christ for a renewed mind, and really help you step back into the thing that you really, it's really breaking the lie that there is something that you need to do to become as opposed to just exist. And I don't want to get into too many details because I don't want to tell you the book. So please go check it out. Both these books are available at Amazon.com and Kindle. If you're one of those people, you do not like to wait for your stuff, you want it right now, you can have it on your phone or your iPad or your laptop right now with Kindle. All right. So number one, it's Feel So Good to Be Loved. And the second one is Significant, both written by Samantha Grimes. Both links to my books are in my Instagram link tree at Samantha Grimes TV. As well as if you would like to book a one-on-one session with me. Listen, some of these podcast episodes are pointing out and maybe highlighting that you might need to talk to somebody. And listen, I believe God has called me to be that somebody, okay? We have a wide variety of life coaching sessions. These sessions are designed to help you transform your life from the inside out. You hear me? From the inside out. As well as one-on-one Christian counseling. There is something about talking to somebody who has some faith, talking to somebody that has a relationship with God, talking to somebody that actually believes that at the end of this, we can be healed. There's no shade to psychologists or psychotherapists. None. I think what they do is phenomenal, but a faith-based counselor or a faith-based coach or anyone in that realm are not just educated and certified, but they offer something, in my opinion, that will always be greater, and that is the Holy Ghost. Okay. And the Holy Ghost will lead you to go down avenues, will lead you into doors, will help you overcome, will help you heal, will help you do things that, man, you didn't realize that you needed. So I highly recommend myself. I highly recommend these services. I have a wide variety of testimonials from different women whose lives have been greatly impacted by these services. And even though God is using me, it's all Him. It's Him 100%. But I do want to encourage you, even if you don't want to come to me, go to someone. Okay. Let this become a part of your life, not just a season, not just a moment. Don't let anybody talk you out of your journey. Some people feel like you're not supposed to be in counseling forever. I disagree. I personally think that having that, even if it's just a monthly check-in, is so good for you. It is so good for you, because life is going to present different challenges, different mindsets, things try to return, all type of stuff. And having that person in your corner is like nothing else. And so I want to offer those three goodies up to you now. Okay. Please check those out, as well as, you know, follow our social media pages, our Instagram at Samantha Grimes. At Samantha Grimes TV, our Facebook at Coach Samantha Grimes, and even our YouTube channel. You may be watching me on our YouTube channel right now, but if you're not, you could check out our YouTube channel at Samantha Grimes TV as well. And listen, I know you will love it. All right, family. So this topic is going to be heavy. And I set my notes up in such a way that the goal was maybe to just do this one topic and to kind of keep it all in one episode. But if by chance we get to the end and we cannot hit everything, then I am more than open to doing a part two, part three, whatever. This is going to be heavy, but it's going to be necessary. And I think it's going to set so many people free. So many people. The Lord put this heavy in my spirit. So I know that God had you specifically in mind. He's like, my daughter needs to hear this. And so I'm going to go ahead and open us up in prayer. Bless the Lord. And then we're going to get into it. Okay. All right. So Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. I mean, we adore you. We value you. We are grateful for you. We are thankful for you, Father. Lord, you are amazing. You're perfect. You're lovely. You're holy. You're beautiful. You're timeless. You're everything. You're everything, God. And right now, Father, we invite the Holy Spirit even the more into this podcast episode, fully aware you're already here. But Holy Spirit, we're also fully aware that we need you and that we want you and that we can't do anything of value or impact without you. So right now, Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us, help us to go where you want us to go, to land where you would have us to land, Father. Lord, I pray even now, God, that you would, God, supernaturally use my tongue and speak directly to your daughters. I thank you, God, that this podcast episode, God, will heal. It will transform. It will impact. It will cause mind renewal. It will point your daughters back to you. It will bring them into the reality of what love is. Father, I thank you that it would advance the kingdom of God like never before, Father. And I thank you now, let every woman listening, Father God, let their hearts be open. Let their hearts be a conducive place, Father, for you to be able to receive what you're saying, Father. And I thank you, God, that it will use it, Father, to transform the trajectory of their life. Let your glory rest upon this, Father God. Let there be an ease like never before, Father. And I thank you, God, that you're going to get the glory and we're going to know how much we are loved. I submit my notes. I submit myself. And I thank you that it is so now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, family, this is a weighty topic. I had to close my notes for a minute so I can just talk to you, and then we're gonna circle back. So the name of this episode is After the Abuse. Okay. Now, I'm talking heavily today because I have to, you know, separate it so that, you know, we can get into each thing thoroughly. But I'm talking heavily today about emotional abuse. I'm talking heavily about emotional abuse. This is something I have personally experienced. And this is something that many women have experienced. And I want to first validate you and say that your scars are real. I validate your experience. I validate that you're not crazy. I validate that this was not an easy journey, and some of you have never truly come back from it. And we're going to get into all of those details. And I also validate that it doesn't get the respect, and I don't want to say respect abuse, but it doesn't get the maybe attention and concern and intentional intercession and love from people that may be domestic violence, sexual abuse that you can see on the outside, you know, because you don't have any scars, because you weren't raped. You almost feel like, well, I don't get to deal or have this experience. And that's just not true. There is not true. The thing about abuse, emotional abuse, is that out of all of the various different categories of abuse that exist, and there are a lot, this abuse is designed, I believe, by the enemy, if you ask me, to not just break you down as a person, to not just break you down as a woman, but to break down your spirit. And ladies, it is one thing for someone to break your heart. That's hard. It's one thing for somebody to break your bones. Nobody wants that. But man, when someone breaks your spirit, it is probably the most fragile place you can ever be. And I don't believe that anybody should experience this. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. And I hate that this is something that I even had to experience in my own life. But I'm grateful that nothing is wasted with the Father. So let me say that. And I'm grateful that God works all things together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I am grateful for that. And there are things that were allowed because of my own disobedience and my own unwillingness to yield to the protection of the Father. And God still took care of me. And he still protected me, and he still went before me, and I am a living witness. I'm not just talking to you guys from education. I'm not just talking to you guys from experience. I'm not just talking to you guys from my sessions that I have and different client experiences. I'm talking to you about from something that I had to walk out on my own. And I watched the Lord restore me. I watched him do like that season taught me that the word is to be believed and God is to be trusted and that he is a safe place and that he is a strong tower and that he will never leave you nor forsake you. I learned the hard way it's the thing. Some people try to discredit your experiences because they feel like it's not that big of a deal or because they never went through nothing. If it were me, I would do this. And they've never walked your shoes. Truth be told, if it were me, I would do this. That would not be what they did if they were in your situation because they have not felt the weight of whatever it is that you have had to carry. So again, I want to validate your experience and I want to get into this conversation. This is heavy. It might be triggering for some of you who have experienced this. But I will say this, do not click off this podcast episode. As a matter of fact, pull over, make it your business to finish to the end because this is going to free you. This is going to heal you. This is going to give you maybe the guidance and the direction that you were looking for that you didn't get. This is going to do that. Okay. So first thing first is I want to define definition wise, the definition of emotional abuse, and we're going to get into it. Okay. So as a definition, according to Google, okay, defining emotional abuse includes non-physical behaviors that are meant to control, isolate, or frighten you. This may be present in romantic relationships as threats, insults, constant monitoring, excessive jealousy, manipulation, humiliation, intimidation, and dismissiveness, among others. There's a quote that I want to start with, and it's by Mel B. Anybody that's ever seen the Spice Girls, I was a Spice Girls fan when I was little. Oh my gosh, I had the movie, y'all. You couldn't tell me nothing. But yes, ever seen the Spice Girls? Mel B was Scary Spice, right? And many of you see her now on different talk shows and all of that. She's done so much in her career. But she wrote a book about being emotionally abused by her first husband. It was traumatic. Things her kids had to endure. It just was not a fun time. But she made a quote in her book that I think speaks directly to when you're in the situation and how you may possibly feel. She says, "With emotional abuse, you often don't realize you are being abused. It is a sneaking cycle. And by the time you do realize, you have lost your confidence to such a degree that all you feel is that you're a mess." I think she said that perfectly, elegantly. I mean, just yes. That's that's what it is. All right. So first, I want to start off with signs of abuse. For many of you, as I go through this list and we talk through these things, it's going to validate that you were right. For some of you, it's going to ring off an alarm or put on a light switch that you might have had this experience. Even if it's only one or two things. Hey, okay. let it happen. Okay? The Bible says, and the truth shall make us free. Even if the truth is a shock, even if the truth doesn't feel good, the long-term effect is always greater than maybe how you felt immediately in the moment. All right? So, one thing, signs of abuse is constantly pushing or violating your boundaries. Constantly pushing / violating your boundaries. Meaning, anyone that you tell them, I am not comfortable with you doing this, and they're still pushing, and they're still trying to figure out how they can get in, or they're making you feel bad for having the boundary, or they're trying to it's a form of emotional abuse. This can happen in romantic relationships. Often it can even happen in friendships. You want this person, you don't want a person to feel like you're a bad friend or that you don't love them, but you're not comfortable with this. And them forcing it or keep pushing it is a form of abuse. Constantly pushing or violating boundaries. For some of you, this happens with family. They don't know how to respect your boundaries. They don't even understand why you have boundaries. And that's a very different conversation that we will get into in a different podcast episode. Okay. But constantly pushing or violating boundaries, separation from those who you love. Now, this often happens in romantic relationships because we naturally, as women, when we fall in love and we start dating somebody, we're always distant from our family and our friends. It's because it's new. You're in love and you want to be with this person 24/7. It is innocent, right? Listen, when I was dating and I told my friends, hey, my boyfriend is calling or the guy I'm talking to is calling, they just got off the phone because they were like, oh girl, we get it. Because I'm going to do the same thing to you when it's my man. Same thing with guys. Guys don't talk about it, but they do it. Some of the guys be like, hey man, you ain't been around to play basketball with us in a long time because he's always booed up with you. So like it's new, it's exciting, and you're in this, you know, cute, sweet little bubble, and you never want to leave, and it's beautiful. And after a while, you have to learn how to have a relationship and do life at the same time. Newly married couples, the first year, sometimes the first 2 years, you forgot your friend, you forgot you had friends. You forgot that you had church responsibilities. You want to be with your husband. Your husband wants to be with you. It's so normal. You're establishing a new covenant. You're establishing a new order in your life and in your home. And that needs time and attention and focus. And anybody that loves you is going to make the effort to understand. Okay. But the reason why this is so sneaky is because oftentimes you think, well, I'm doing this because I'm in love. And you don't even realize you're being emotionally manipulated into separating you from everyone in your life that loves you. Your friends, anybody. And the reason why this is a thing is because anybody that loves you is going to speak life and truth to you, number one, but they're going to clearly see what's happening in your relationship that you're too blinded to see. Because they don't have any emotional ties to this person. This person can't do anything to them. They can't take anything from them. They will not die or fall apart if this person does not like them. And so let me pull you away from people. You ever notice like in a lot of emotionally abusive or abusive situations, the person, the abuser gets really uncomfortable when a lot of people come around. They almost want you like, okay, hey, or I'll talk to you later. Everything is at night. Everything is under the radar. Everything is, let me be under you 24/7. Let me be under you. I want you on me 24/7. You make plans and they're not comfortable with that. They're always manipulating you, trying to figure out how to get you out of plans, how to get you out of stuff, making you constantly feel guilty about everything in your life that was in play before they ever showed up. It was okay when you were trying to get my number, but it's not okay now that we are in a relationship. Right? So separation from those who love you. Another one, a disregard for your feelings. It does not matter how you express how you feel about something. There is no honor or respect for your feelings. Somehow, in some way, they have circled it back and manipulated to where now you are catering to how they feel and their feelings. Every single time. How did you figure out how to make this about you? I don't know. But they did. Because it's all with love, y'all. It's a game. It is a game. It is a form of control. if we want to talk spiritual about this thing, what is witchcraft? Control. Why do you think a lot of people who end up getting into the occult and into witchcraft, they were probably bullied as a kid? They probably never felt love. They probably never felt seen. They probably never felt heard, never felt valued, never felt enough. And what makes you, what is a false feeling of identity? Power. A false feeling of identity is power. I have power now. So what would I do with this power? I'll get back at everybody that ever hurt me. I'll control. It's a desire to control and keep you close because I am terrified that you, if you, the decision was solely of yours, you wouldn't choose me. So a disregard for your feelings, no matter what you say, no matter how you feel, no matter how sincere you are, you could be boohoo crying. They do not care. Okay. And they're not going to come out and write out and say, I don't care. No, they're going to silently manipulate you into this circle to now you really are questioning and looking inward and like, oh my goodness, am I, it's not you. I'm here to validate you. It's not you. It's not. There's a new concept. It started out in the UK, but it's coming to the US and it's called cohesive control. I'm going to say it again. It's called cohesive control, right? It's an aspect of emotional abuse and an aspect of abuse, period. And I'm going to go down the list for you. One is excessive monitoring. Excessive monitoring. They always want to know what you're doing, who you're doing it with, where you're going, what time you're going to be there. They have you, you find yourself being glued to your phone. You already probably was already on your phone a lot, but now you're glued to your phone. You feel yourself getting scared or nervous if you do not text back in a certain amount of time when they text you. You start feeling, scared even. When it comes to monitoring, they want to know you could be out with your friends or out doing something and they're texting you the entire time. And it's not, listen, sometimes the game is that they try to make you think, oh, it's because they just miss you and they love you so much. No, anybody that loves you, if you say I'm out with my friends, they may text you once, maybe twice, but they're going to always say, hey, have fun. Call me later. Talk to me later. I'm going to make room. If you don't talk to me, if you forget to hit me back, I'm not going to make you pay the price for that. I'm just grateful we talk the next day. Like healthy boundaries. They understand that you have a life outside of them, especially if you're not married to them. They understand that you have a life outside of them. Okay. Excessive monitoring. All right. They always need to know that. Why it's control. I need to know what you're doing. I gotta make sure it's a fear tactic from control. I gotta make sure I always know because what if somebody else gets in your ear? What if somebody else starts talking sense to you and you realize and you wake up from this bad dream and you realize that I'm not as great as I'm pretending to be and you realize that you can do better than me. Okay. Excessive monitoring, denying their partner's freedom and autonomy, denying their partner's freedom and autonomy. Okay. Lying and gaslighting. He lied to you. You called him out on the lie and he gaslit you and you left feeling like crap. And he's the one that lied and got caught in the lie. Even his apology was a part of a bigger game. It's an apology that went into a guilt trip. Anybody that is constantly guilting you into doing things is a form of control, which is a form of witchcraft, and it's also a form of abuse. I'm here to sound the alarm for you, okay? To let it be known. Another one is name calling and putting you down. Another sign of abuse is calling you out of your name, but not just calling you out of name. It's almost like when that comes, the minute you don't do what I want to do, the minute you don't conform to my manipulation, the minute that you don't respond the way I want to, then I'm going to come at you with every name I can possibly call you. Why? So I can make you feel like crap and you'll do what I want you to do. You'll feel bad. Putting you down. Like putting you down, all these things are not obvious. They're not going to be in your face. They're little side comments, little things, little games. Oh, yeah, like, you know, I love that dress on you. My mother has the same one. Go from you were the most amazing girl in the world when I first met you to now. I mean, if I'm really going to be honest, I thought she was cute. I thought she was okay, you know. But, you know, I like you now, though. Like it's a game. With love, I love you, but it's a game. Putting you down. Like one thing to understand that when you're under any type of heavy emotional abuse, it's not going to be in your face. Sometimes they don't get that bold until they know they really got you. So in the early stages, it's little silent little comments, little under the breath things, little things that they say that make you go, But it's a silent gnawing away at you. When somebody wants to control you and somebody wants to abuse you, they're not afraid to play the long game. Hear me. They're not afraid to play the long game, taking their time, taking their sweet time. Okay. Because it's a slow breakdown. It's a slow breakdown. Anybody that's ever been in a Greek organization and went through a hazing, I know people say the hazing doesn't exist, but we all know that it does. Anybody that's ever experienced type of hazing, it is a slow breakdown. That's the point of hazing. They don't hit you with everything the first week. It's weeks and months of a slow breakdown, and it gets more and more intense. And by the time you get to the end, you've invested so much time and energy and mental capacity, you're not gonna quit. That's how it works. Now, every organization doesn't believe in that. And this podcast is not my opinion on that, yay or nay. I have no thoughts. But I do have my own thoughts. But this podcast is not expressing my personal thoughts. This podcast is expressing, in a general sense, using that to relate to a greater point. So name calling, putting down, limiting access to money. Okay. Limiting your access to money. Anybody that now wants to control how much you can spend of your own money, the back and forth with your own money or any money, it's a game. I'm here to tell you. Regulating the sexual relationship, all this under cohesive control, regulating the sexual relationship. There is a concept many men and women understand about it. And listen, if you are a brother, listen to this, then please listen intently, because women can do this to men. My podcast is aimed at women, but understand there are men who have been emotionally manipulated, emotionally controlled, and emotionally abused, and you are still living in the damaging residue and effects of that relationship and that season. Sometimes how you view relationships as a whole was because somebody broken came into your life, okay? But there is a concept called sexing you into submission. Okay. There is a concept called sexing you into submission. And what we mean by sexing you into submission, it doesn't always mean a penetration. It could be oral sex. It could be just sexual things. Anything that they have figured out that you like and that is pleasurable to you, consistently doing that thing. Because why? Every time that we have sex with somebody, what's the right word, Holy Spirit? Our defenses get lower and lower and lower. It's designed that way. You know what I mean? Every time a husband and a wife come together, it is a form of intimacy. They become softer towards one another. They're kinder to one another. They have known each other. There is a confidence they almost feel because I know you. I've known you. You know what I mean? And so when someone is having sex with you constantly, it is not just breaking down the physical body. It's breaking down the mindset. It is now you don't want to lose this pleasure that this person provides for you. And it doesn't matter that you can get that from somebody else or somewhere else. Your mind psychologically is linking itself to the reality that I can only get this from this person in this way. It is a comfortability, a routine that you have come into. And now your defenses are getting lower and lower and lower. So yeah, when we first had this conversation on our first date, you know, there was, no, I'm not doing this. But by the fourth time I had sex with you, now you're considering it. And by the 10th time I've had sex with you, now I can get you to do whatever I want you to do. And understand, sexing someone into submission is not a gender thing. Women try to sex men into submission. There are men who have flat out been ready to marry women who knew that they were not worthy to be wives or to be their wives. They knew the truth. But I have sexed him so good that he's not even thinking straight. He's not even seeing me for who I am. I can do something flat in his face and he's going to let me do it because I have broken down his barriers. I have weakened him with having consistent sex with him. So listen, someone can abuse you. Yes, yes, there's a whole section, a whole separate abuse called sexual abuse. But sometimes sexuality is used in emotional abuse because sex is an emotional thing. It is a tying of two souls. It is the bonding of two parts. It is the bonding of two people. It is how two people become one. Like on your wedding, it's not just that the pastor said, I do. You have to go consummate the marriage. You have to go home and have sex with that person. And that signifies that you two are actually married. And until, it don't matter how many days go by, until you have sex with them, it's almost like you're not actually married. And that is a big part of a two married people consistently becoming one. It is the exchanging of DNA. It is the tying of souls. And if you're constantly doing that with an abuser, they are gaining a greater and greater control and advantage over you. So where now your mind doesn't feel strong enough to make certain decisions and to see things for what they really are. And the last one on this is threats. Get some water. The last one is threats. Okay? Threats. I'm going to make it simple for you. And I had a friend in college when I was in the midst of an emotionally abusive relationship, worst relationship of my life. And I've had some boyfriends, my God. But he takes the cake every time. And she was a psychology major at the time, and she and I were having a conversation, and I think at this point I had my first panic attack in my life, being in this relationship. I've never had one since. And she sat me down as a friend and said, Samantha, you're in an emotionally abusive relationship. I'm here to tell you. And she said, anytime, and I've seen this in my own studies, I've seen this in my own work, I've seen this with clients, I've seen it. But anytime someone threatens to take something away from you, if you do not, it is a form of abuse. That's it. I'm not talking about boundaries, because that can play a part in boundaries. I'm not talking about someone as being toxic. Okay. And now you can't let your kid be around them because you can't trust what they're going to do. That's not the same thing. I'm not talking about not going around somebody because they are obviously not a healthy person and not a safe place. That's not the same thing. I mean, someone who is dangling things like a carrot. Like every time you do something they don't like, that feels off, that feels weird, the fact that you disagreed, the fact that you yawned in public in front of my friends, now I'm going to take away my kindness. I'm going to take away my love. I'm going to take away my intentionality. I'm going to take away my sex. I'm going to take away my presence. I'm going to ignore you. Anytime I threaten you, like if you don't do what I want, then I won't give you. These are signs of abuse. So listen, if you want to pause right here and re-listen to the top so that you can go through each one of these again, I understand. Go for it. And this is not extensive. I made a shortened list so that we would not be here for 2 hours. Okay. But please, even if you feel like, okay, I feel like I'm experiencing some of these, but help me understand, submit these before the Father. Submit these before the Father. Submit these before God. Okay. And he'll show you. Oh no, number seven. Oh, number two. Oh, no. He'll show you exactly. God's so good. He'll give you a memory in the middle of your prayer that's in direct alignment with the very thing you're asking to show you. This was the moment that it happened. This is how many times it happened. God is a believer in truth. The truth will make you free. He will expose the enemy if you let him. Some of you have had these experiences with your friends. Some of you have had these experiences with family members. Some of you have had these experiences with coworkers. Okay. You gotta be able to call it what it is. And how you deal with each of these situations is different. Some things you gotta put up greater boundaries because some people don't realize that they're being toxic, you know. And then some things you have to fully separate from. but it's going to be led by the Spirit. Do not decide, I don't want this to have to be the case, and keep yourself in prison to anyone or anything you're not supposed to. Jesus died for our freedom, and it is a spit in his face that we don't take it. Okay. All right. So I want to start here with everything I just shared. Number one, any of these things that you are experiencing an abundance of or at all, I want to just say, this isn't love. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not boast. Love is not married to having its own way. And the list goes on and on. The Bible says you can have all the prophetic powers. The Bible says that you could cast out demons. The Bible says you can do all these great things, but if you have love, then you don't have anything. All right. And this is not love. Just because you are in love with him does not mean that you are experiencing love. Just because he makes you feel good at times. Because sometimes, yeah, think about that. How often does he? After he's abused you? After he's played a game with you? Then he's the sweetest person in the world. When he thinks you're about to break up and he realizes that nothing is working, then all of a sudden he's ready to change? This isn't love, baby. This isn't love. I also want to say you're better than this. And I know some of you are going to hear that and you're going to think, no, I'm not. Maybe your esteem was already not that high before you got in the relationship. Maybe no one's ever had an identity conversation with you. Maybe you are past a particular age. Hear me. Maybe you are past a particular age and you feel like I got to deal with whatever I can get. And all of those are lies. Some of you have children and they're using your children to abuse you. They're using your kids against you. Every time you do something they don't like, all of a sudden you go to pick them up from daycare and the baby not there anymore. They don't pick the baby up and you don't know where he is because he's punishing you because you didn't do something he wanted. Abuse, baby. Telling your kids ugly things about you and turning them against you. Abuse. That's not love. I know people make mistakes and nobody is perfect. I get that 100%. But we're not talking about a mistake because it was intentional. And we're not talking about imperfection. We're talking about something that's harmful to you. Like me not being perfect doesn't harm you. I'm just not perfect. But when my imperfection is harmful to you, then I need to go back to the drawing board. I don't mean you don't like it. I don't mean it offends you. I mean it is harmful to you. We're past, I'm just not perfect. I'm harmful. I'm toxic. I'm not. That person is no longer a safe place. The Bible says there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. So if there is any fear, if you are scared to not text back within the hour, are you scared to have a difference of opinion? Are you like, okay, that might be a sign that you love, like, this is the thing, this is the truth. You're in love with your abuser. Just because you're in love with your abuser doesn't mean that you need to be with your abuser. That's like a slave. A lot of slaves love their master. I mean, will go to bat, willing to die for the man that has kept them enslaved all these years. And God says, I know you don't see it now, but you're worthy of freedom. You're worthy to live a life where you're not under their thumb. You're worthy of living a life where you can own your own home. You can own your own car. You can have your own money. You can sleep in a bed without the fear of someone whipping you if you sleep a few seconds too late. You're worthy of being treated like a human being. You're worthy of that. And for so many of you, if you in any type of emotionally abusive relationship, they've beaten down your spirit. So now that big confidence you once had, you're like, where is it? I feel the Lord leading me here, so I'm going to share my own story. I've shared this testimony so many times, and I love that one situation has been used to heal so many women. But I was in an emotionally abusive relationship. I was in that relationship for 6 months of my life, right? Back when I was in college, before my husband and I started dating, or before I even knew he was my husband. And in this relationship, my spirit was broken down so much. In this relationship, my self-esteem. I remember people would look at my eyes and they would say, Samantha, you have such vibrant eyes. But when I look at you, it's like you're gone. Like I was gone in here. I cried almost every day. Most of the day. I didn't even catch myself, but I was scared when my phone died because I knew he wouldn't be able to reach me for a long time. And then if I finally cut it back on, I'd be left with all of these text messages that were literally designed to break my spirit. And he studied me. He took time to see what I liked and what I did like, to find where my weaknesses are, where my strengths were, and he used them against me. He didn't like it when other people came around. Remember once we had a Bible study. Mind you, this is around Christian people, and Christian people were not peeping what was happening. We're at a Bible study, and a friend from my department came in the Bible study. He recognized me because I'm somebody nice from his department. He was like, hey, Samantha, can I sit with you? I said, sure, you know, and he sat with me, and I saw how uncomfortable the boy became. And he was mean to me for the rest of the week because I let another person sit with us. Now, mind you, I was a highly confident woman before him. And when we started dating, he was nothing like this. He was probably one of the most romantic guys. I mean, like a movie type of romance, right? But I liked him so much. But then when he started to ask me to do small things to compromise my boundaries, small things to compromise my faith, small things to compromise my identity. I liked him so much. I was like, well, maybe. And then when sex got involved, it became more maybe and maybe. To before I knew it, he could do whatever he wanted. He could do whatever he wanted. My entire world was about keeping this man happy. I wasn't going to Bible study anymore. I wasn't leading anymore. I wasn't around ministry friends anymore. Anybody like, where's Sam? I was mean to people. I was all the things. If you knew where I was always locked up in his apartment. He would go to work and I would sit there and wait for him to come home. And he didn't come home until like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. He worked the night shift at a restaurant. And I would be there waiting for him. And he would, and by the time we got to the end of the relationship, he was telling me his MO to my face. And he knew I wasn't going to go anywhere. He knew I wasn't going to leave because this emotional abuse tears down your mind. It tears down at your mind. My spirit was broken. I didn't put makeup on my face anymore. I didn't do my hair anymore. I just put clothes on that I had at his apartment and get dressed and go to class. And I was just going through the motions. And I remember if he texted me, I jumped like a bunny. If he wanted me to spend the night, I packed that bag so fast. And I remember how deeply I longed to be close to the Lord, how deeply I longed for my relationship with God. I knew that was the source of my identity, the source of my confidence, the source of all that God had called me to be was in him. And I didn't feel like I was worthy to be close to him. Mind you, I'm still going to Bible studies. I'm still going to church. He attended my church. He was in my Bible studies. And he had people convinced that the reason we broke up is because of me, because I'm holding on to him. Not exposing that the reality is he's going out of his way to keep me under a particular control. And every time I got the gumption to leave, he knew what to say and how to be manipulative to make me stay. every single time. You guys, there's a lot of details to this story that I don't have time to get into, but I will end it with how I got out. There was a minister, a mentor in my life as well. She used to do a lot of conferences and things like that with me. And one day out of the blue, she called me on the phone just to see how I was doing. And I was just like, oh, whatever. And she asked about the relationship. And I was reluctantly very honest with her. And she said, Samantha, if this man is not your husband, then what are we doing? And I knew, no matter how low I felt, God did not want that for me. And some of you need to hear this. Even if you're married, and I am not a big believer, I am an advocate and campaigner for a healthy marriage. But you can't force an abuser who does not want to change, who will not yield to the voice of God. You can't force him to be a good husband. You can't force him to be a man of God. You can pray and intercede for him, but God will give you an answer. And sometimes his answer is, I've already given you a way out. Infidelity is one and abuse is another. But for many of you, you believe God, you know, for your spouse. We're believing women. We're daughters. So, you know, if you're dating, you're not dating just to date. You're dating in the hopes that one day this person will become a lifetime partner. But remember, in your dating stage, like you're still interviewing. You're still trying to see, okay, God, is this what you have for me? Not what I want. Because sometimes what you want is just a reflection of the bondage you're in that season. And that's why what you want changes. As the more you get delivered, the more you get healed, your taste gets better. But hear me. She said, Samantha, if this is not your husband, then what are we doing? And I didn't have an answer for her. I didn't have a rebuttal. And about 5 minutes before she called, I was in my kitchen and he was texting me, of course. And I said, Lord, just give me the strength to leave. Because one thing that happens in an abusive relationship, it's like the strength of your humanity and your spirit has been drained. It's been drained. I didn't feel strong enough to think straight. I didn't feel strong enough to make intelligent decisions. It was bad. And I wasn't angry with him because I knew I chose this. I knew I chose this. And so she called me and she said what she said. And I was like, you're right. And she said, and one thing I appreciate about her, she was not nice to me. And normally she's always super sweet to me, but she like started to yell because she was waking me up out of a slumber and said, Samantha, I want you to hang up this phone. I want you to call him. I want you to break up with him and then call me back for accountability. I thank God for this woman to this day, because everybody else, and this is not shade to anybody else in my life, because sometimes you don't know what to do for people in those type of situations. But I believe God uniquely used her in that moment because nobody else was saying that to me. And everybody just thought that I was just being rebellious and just wanted to be with him and did not know that I could not get out, that I was suffering. So I called him and he answered the phone. And I remember I said, hey, do you have a few minutes to talk? And he went to the back and he already had time because you won't make time for the person that you got under, you controlling. And I said, I don't think we should be together anymore. And he was like, I saw this coming. It's cool. It's cool. Have a nice life. You know, hung up the phone. And I remember I cried. Oh, let me tell you why I cried. I cried because I already didn't feel like I had any strength. And the little bit I felt like I had left, it felt like it left me in that moment. Like it took all that I had to end that relationship. I felt all the fears that came with leaving something abusive. You know, when people leave prison, You would think they'd be so happy to be free, but there are a lot of people who have been in there so long that the real world is terrifying. Their fear is not because they miss jail, but because they are not acclimated to society. It's terrifying. It's terrifying. My God. And that's why they have halfway houses and they have different programs to help people adjust to a new way of living. For 6 months of my life, this is how I lived. For 6 months of my life, I didn't know how to breathe. I'm clinging to this person more than I cling to the Lord. So I called her back and she commended me and spoke life into me. And she says, Samantha, I want you to call somebody and tell somebody that if you tell them, you know you're not going back. There's certain people that you honor them so much and so that if you tell them, you don't want to have to face them and say that, oh, I returned. I don't know how she knew to do that, but that was exactly what she did for me. And crazy enough, the person I called was my dearest friend, but he was also our college pastor, and I had so much respect for him. And that man became my husband years later. But I remember I called him and he was so happy for me. And I'm over here trying to figure out why he's so happy because I am crying. I am a mess. I am a shell of a person. Hear me. I was a shell of a person. I didn't even know where to begin to be me again. And he was like, Smith, I know this feels hard. I know this feels bad because he had been silently in the background interceding on my behalf because he saw his friend leave in this relationship. And he said, I know this is hard and I know you feel like, but there's going to come a day where you're over this and this is, and you're done with this and you're better and you're going to thank God that he saved you from this relationship. He's going to thank God that he got you out of this. And I remember he prayed for me. And so this next part, I want to talk about restoration. This podcast is getting longer than I intended, but please stay with me. All right. I want to talk about restoration. For some of you, you've been in abusive situations and you don't know where restoration is going to begin for you. You've never fully been restored. You just went back to life and you went back to life bitter and angry, and you are still living your life that way. And so I want to give you a few points. Now, let me say this. This podcast, as much as it is a wealth of knowledge, it will not replace a one-on-one counseling session. It will not replace it for anything. It will not replace life coaching. It will not replace getting help. Why? Because there are intricacies in your unique situation that I'm not going to speak to because I don't know you. You have to explain it to me. Okay? There are aspects of your restoration process that are not on this list because they are unique to you. So again, I cannot highlight how much I recommend booking a session with me. I cannot express how important it would be walking through a process of really coming out of something, even if that something happened eons ago. You have no idea how it is still weighing in your life. You have no idea how much you are still walking with the stain of something on your life. I can tell this story with so much freedom because I went through the process of deliverance, real restoration, real healing. That now I see there's nothing. I don't get choked up when I think about this. There's no fear. There's nothing there because I watch God do what only God can do. All right. So the first aspect of restoration is that you must grieve. Many people don't grieve because you don't want it to make it seem like you want to be with them again. And the truth is you don't. Trust me. Sometimes our worship leader always says, you know, you need to believe that fat meat is greasy. Some of y'all don't need a second or a third or a fourth time around. You believe. There is no doubt in your mind. Okay. But you don't understand why you're so hurt. You're not hurt because you're still in love. Let me tell you something. A relationship in your life died. When you lose a friend, you should grieve. When your dog dies, you should grieve. Even if you weren't close to that family member and they died, take a moment, take a season, grieve. Something in your life has died. You got to let that out. You have to grieve that experience. And listen, there is no timetable on your grief process. Don't let people feel like, oh, you should be over him by now. You are. What you're going through ain't got nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with you. Everything to do with you. Take the time to grieve properly. Some of you, it happened years ago, but you never took the time to grieve properly. Grieve the loss of this relationship, even if you don't want it back. My second point here for restoration is you got to let the Lord piece you back together. So many of you are trying to hurry up and fix yourself. Let me go get some makeup. Let me go get some clothes. Let me go, do something extreme to give the appearance that you're back, but you're not. And there's no timetable. And listen, sometimes you may have to separate yourself from somebody who does not get how intense the season you just came out of. This is not a typical breakup. This is not a typical situation. You were being abused. So you need to go through the process of restoration. And God is like, I am invested. I'm ready. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to walk away from you. But you got to give yourself the chance to be pieced back together. Oh, well, they think that they got something over you. Listen, the guy I'm talking about, he got a new girlfriend so fast. And I was not about to give it another man. Do you know why? I wasn't ready. Not because I didn't want to relationship, and not because I missed him. Let me keep it real. I needed to be Samantha again first. And I knew that was going to take time. I knew that wasn't going to be overnight. It didn't take me 5 minutes to get this deep in this relationship like this. It's not going to take me 5 minutes to come back. And I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. My next point, stop. No dating. There's an old saying, the best way to get over an old man is getting under a new one. That is the worst thing you could possibly do to yourself. And now you drag somebody else into the situation. They're falling for you. You understand, there's a thing called victim to monster. Okay, you were the victim, but because you did not take the time to heal, now you rip off the heads of anyone that comes in your path, including people that really just want to love you and really want to do right by you. You are not ready to date. Getting under another man is just entwining your soul with another spirit and making things more emotionally and mentally fatiguing and complicated. No dating. Let the Lord piece you back together. Let the Lord restore you. This is a time to go head first in the presence of God. This is time to go head first in prayer. This is a time to go head first. Let me tell you something. I can't tell you how many prayers I prayed to just be happy, to just be have joy again. Every day I would feel this weight and this anxiety on my chest during that season of coming out. And I prayed 3 to 4 times a day. I remember I had a leader tell me, she was like, Samantha, you have to give it to God, and you have to give it to God as many times as you need to give it to God. And I gave it to God at least 4 or 5 times a day. I wasn't okay. And I didn't care that he had a new girlfriend. I didn't care what he had going on. I wanted to feel like me again. That was it. I wanted to be happy again. I wanted my mind back. I wanted my spirit back. And I had to yield to the process of restoration. Because one thing about God, he's not going to restore you back to where you were. He's going to restore you back 10 times better. He's going to deal with whatever was in you that caused you to go down this road in the first place so that you will not go down this road again. That's a good father who loves you too much to leave you where you are. And my last point is here, you got to find safe people. You can't recoup with everybody. Some people think you should stop talking about it. Some people think you should be over it by now. What's wrong with you? Because they have no grid or gravity for what you have experienced. They have no greater gravity for what you're going through, for how you feel. Their perspective is insensitive. Their perspective is just what happens with ignorance. They just don't know. We don't blame them. We're not angry with them, but they're not your safe people. You need people that's going to let you recoup. You need people that's going to let you talk about it as much as you need to talk about it, i.e. a counselor. or just those friends that are like, hey, I'm here as long as you need me. God blessed me in that season with friends that they made me get out the house. And they took me to Bridge Street and they took me out to eat and they took me shopping and it was just ladies. They knew how to introduce me to no new man. I remember one girl, my girlfriend, she cooked for me every day. I didn't ask her for any of this. I didn't come to her saying, I'm a mess, take care of me. No, she had discernment. She saw it. And they were happy. I was finally free to be with my friends again. I was no longer clinging to him. And she cooked me breakfast, lunch, dinner. She sat with me. She cried with me. She ministered to me. There were times she made me intentionally leave my phone at home and go out. But above all, I give glory to God. The Lord restored my life. And I want to say the Lord wants to restore yours as well. The Lord wants to restore yours as well. So this is the last thing I'm going to say, because we are already an hour in and I don't think any of my podcast episodes are this long. and that's okay. It needed to be an hour long. And if the Lord leads me to ever do a part two and get into more depth, I will. If that's something you desire, don't be afraid to write in the comments or request, whatever, whatever. But I want to leave you with this. God's good thoughts toward you outnumber the sand. And he wants to give you a hope and a future. He loves you with a love that still covers a multitude of sins. There is no depth of abuse. There's no situation that you allowed yourself to be in. There's no place that you've gone that's too far for your Father. This is not love, but God can introduce you to what real love is. And real love from him will lead you to how to have real love in your life, in your relationships with people. But I validate what you've been through, and God is willing and he's always willing to heal you. But you have to allow him to. So yeah, we're going to leave it there. Family, I love you guys so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening, and join me next week for episode 6. All right, family. And please share this. Recommend this to those that you know might need to hear this, as well as please rewind and follow back for information on how you can book, how you can become of our membership community, and how you can get one of my books. All right, family. I love you guys.